Gavin, first question.
Oh, dear. I feel so nervous right now, I'll be honest.
No, I am too. Like, yeah. I really am. So how we're going to do this is we're going to ask each other the question. We're going to try and keep our answers.
Whoa, there's fireworks going off.
Fireworks? If you hear fireworks going off, we apologize. It's 4th of July weekend after.
No, it's the 5th of July. It's the 6th. No, it's the 6th that we're recording this.
But the way we're going to do this, I think, is where we ask each other the questions and we try to keep our answers not super long, but long enough that it's like we could ask a few small questions in between, I suppose. Yeah, and then we can move through the rest of these. Hopefully we can get through all of these. So the first question, I'm making Gavin answer first because I don't feel like answering first. The first question was, what event brought you to your lowest and thus to God? See, I don't actually know this about Gavin. So for me, this is interesting because...
You probably do. I feel like I've said this before.
As far as I remember from Gavin, he's been like, oh... This is how my life was always going to turn out.
I was always going to be a Christian.
I was always going to be a good boy.
No, I was not a good boy when I was younger. I was rather evil. And I remember, like, when I was evil, let me just set the stage for you guys. I stole a little toy truck from a friend's house, and I went home, and I was like, I got to cover this up. So I picked some flowers for my mom, and then I held out the flowers to her, right? And I'm like, here, Mom, here's some flowers. She's like, oh, let me go grab the camera. She goes and grabs the camera, takes a picture. And you can look at my baby book. And there is a picture of me with a little toy truck kind of almost hiding it behind my leg. But there's this big bouquet of flowers because I was trying to hide the fact that I came home with a truck. And I did not leave with that truck.
It was not my truck.
It was not my truck. But yeah, I was an evil little child, to say the least. And... we moved when I was like 5 years old to Memphis, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and I had no friends, and I was homeschooled, and yeah, man, legit, like I was making friends with the animals. Like I remember coming in and be like, Mom, I made friends with the squirrel, his name's yeah. Squirrely, and the robin is Robin. So yeah, it was a pretty sad life. So I played pet shop with my sister, and I hardly had any Legos. Like, I found some Legos on the side of the street one
Legos?
Time. I found some Legos on the side of the street one
what
time.
What poverty this man lived in.
Brought them home and cleaned them up and played with them.
I've linked a GoFundMe below for Gavin's Lego.
But, so, let's jump into what event. So that's kind of like leading up to Gavin's low point in his life.
At 5 years
Our
old?
Our family. Well, I wasn't 5 years old. Okay. I was five when we moved. And I want to say I was around 11 or 12 when something happened. My mom would do these devotions. We'd listen to them. Sometimes she'd do the devotions when she remembered. But they're usually good, right?
Hopefully she doesn't remember this morning.
Yeah, usually you would be like, because it took forever, and you ask these questions. So what did you think about that? And you're like, oh my gosh.
I just woke up. I just want eggs and bacon. I just want my scrambled usually, eggs the way you make them.
It would usually
stop
be
asking me questions about Jesus right now, Mom. Yeah.
So I think she was reading a proverb, and I meant to actually get this verse from her because she still remembers the verse that she read, and I don't remember it. All I remember is when she read that verse, it like cut me to the heart, man. Mm. Like I was like, oh snap, I'm evil, you know, and like it was something about confession. That's what I do remember. Like for some reason though, that verse. Like, really stood out to me. And I was like, I feel like, that was like the first time in my life that I really felt like looking back on, I think God was really speaking to me. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, I'd always been like, oh, yeah, my parents are Christians. So as a young child, you're just kind of like, Jesus, Christian. You know, you just are because your parents believed it and you believe in your parents. So,
right.
Anyways, that was the first time I was like, oh, and I started confessing, like, my sins to my parents, actually, which kind of seems unheard of for a lot of people, you know? Right. Especially at that young of an age. Like, I've heard other kids weren't like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you weren't like that.
Oh, no. 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 But, I mean, that's why I was like, oh, Gavin's such a goody two-shoes,
but to set
man.
The stage for you guys, the reason I think this happened is because I had no friends. Mm. Like, when I say I had no friends, you know? Like, we had a friend move in with me one time for, like, he lived with us for, like, a year or two or something, and then he left. Mm-hmm. And then I had another friend that moved in with us for a little bit, and was like, yes, and then he left. So I had temporary friends sometimes, but I just really was alone, and mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time with my parents and my mom. Well, mostly my mom, because my dad worked. But I had a pretty good life. Like, I don't want to say, like, oh, I was just all, but I was alone a lot. Like, our family would go to the YMCA, but I never made any friends, because I would look at them and judge them pretty harshly and be like, those kids are stupid. I was a judgy little child.
Jeez, I still am pretty.
Yeah, I was. I was legit like, you guys are morons. I don't want to be your friends. So I think that's really what kind of helped that whole confession happen, is because I had no one else. Mm-hmm. There was nothing left. Like, I had nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. There was none of my friends to really talk to. We hardly went to see them, you know.
No bad influences.
Yeah, there was no influences, period, except for my parents, pretty much. We weren't on the internet much either, you know. We had this old computer. I don't even know if we had it at that point. Yeah, we rarely watched documentaries, like BBC stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyways, started confessing a lot to my parents, you know, and they're like, wow, you're so evil. And I was like, yeah. not really, but like,
brush your long black locks out of here.
It was not black.
Yeah,
it was more.
You got the leather studded wristbands. I know I am.
No, it was really hard for me. Actually, I remember taking days to muster up courage to like tell my dad stuff or something, or my mom.
I mean, I did that when I felt bad, particularly about what I did. But most of the time, I was like, I'm justified doing this, you know. And what's funny for me, though, is with my parents, and this is a small thing, is I would take care to basically, what do you call it when someone, like, purposefully doesn't know information so that they...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that they can't... So that they can deny it.
Right, yep.
I don't remember what that's called.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But then. I specifically remember it because when they did duels in like the 1700s, mm-hmm. the doctor would be like, this is illegal, so I'm going to turn the other way and say I didn't see it happen.
Yep.
And then he would be on standby.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I would do that about everything, and I would be like, oh, I don't know what they did because I wasn't there. Conveniently, I walked away right at the time when they did it. So,
right.
Yeah, I did that. So yeah. I wanted to be able to say that I had never lied to my parents.
Yeah. So it's not like this glorious story where I was like struck by lightning and then I was blind or something. I was just a little kid that pricked in the heart.
You
weren't
the next
friends.
Saul? I'm really disappointed.
I was just pricked in the heart and that was it. I don't know. Not very flashy story. What was yours? What brought you to your lowest, Eli?
Oh,
and
man.
Thus to God?
Well, a little background. I was born in South Dakota, and I moved... Well, when I was in South Dakota, my parents, you know, my dad, he did stuff for like churches, and people didn't like what he preached and whatever, so they kicked him out of the church. but... A few things like that happened, so I kind of knew about church stuff, what was going on. Mm-hmm. I got to hang out with a bunch of kids that were also in church stuff, but I didn't feel like the people we hung out outside of church were that much different, were that much like church people. So I can kind of tell the difference at that point. It was kind of weird that you can.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat, though. So I kind of knew about stuff. My parents would play Stephen Curtis Chapman in the car.
Yeah, it was Rich Mullins for me.
Yeah.
Only Rich Mullins.
Yeah. So, you know, when I say Stephen Curtis Chapman songs and I put them on the podcast playlist, it's like Rich Mullins to me.
It's a throwback for your...
Yeah. And we would listen to it in the Jeep and back when we had a Jeep. And
nice.
So when I moved here, it was like a big... It's just upheaval where I wasn't sure who I was, what I was doing, whatever. And I actually found a lot of solace listening to Stephen Curtis Chapman on my MP3 player by myself. Yeah, I was grounded and on my bed and whatever. And
you were grounded? What?
Yeah, I was always in trouble. I mean, not always, but I think my parents might say, and my brother's probably going to hate me for this, might say that I was probably the least troublesome child. but I don't know. I felt like I was always in trouble, or that I was always hiding something that I was afraid I would get in trouble for.
Right.
So I was always kind of walking on eggshells and whatever. And I think, you know, at some point I wasn't like that. I was like, hey, Mom, I'm having a really good time with school and I'm enjoying writing a book, which I started doing, you know, when I was like 10. But anyway, so fast forward, I still kind of, at this point, I knew God was real, I think, because like I definitely made conversation with God.
Yeah.
And I'd felt a spark of something. I wasn't like, for sure, because that's when I probably had my most doubts about any of that. Like, are my parents just here for no reason? And they just drug us here and sold my PlayStation and did all this stuff to me.
Right.
And because we moved down here for the church. So I wasn't sure because I didn't know, because I'd kind of felt like my parents were like not betraying me, because I knew, and I definitely know now, that they were like, I think this would be the best for our children. And I kind of knew that, but I was like, oh, my friends, we're back home. Look what you've done to me. And we're the outcasts and we're the weirdos. And nobody knows me. And I made friends and I got over it. But all that to say, I felt like I at least knew God was real at some level. I still doubted over and over again. And so I get through my teens and I start doing things that I'm not proud of. And one of those times, I got caught doing what I was doing. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, because it's about my wife and stuff like that. So I don't know that she wants me to out her for going out late at night with me, but we did that. So we got caught doing that, and I was like, well, now what? I've just... And for a while, I'd had a lot of online friendships. So I'd had friends, but I was a lot more distant from them. I think I had a lot of fun with them, but I wasn't as real with how I felt and what I was going through as I was with my online friends. And so I would talk to them all the time. And to be frank, they didn't give a lot of good advice.
Really? I had no...
Whoa!
Online friends giving good advice?
It's like going to a bar and everybody's got a sob story and you expect somebody to give you the answer to your sob story and nobody gives it.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like that. Not that I've been to a bar and done that. I'm saying
just
like...
movies.
Yeah. Movies and stuff. So I was constantly having dramatic friendship / relationship issues online and I always thought there's just something wrong with me, because none of, like, I always end up doing something to hurt my friends or something. So then when this happened with my wife, where just all of this stuff happened and I didn't know who I was, I didn't know if they were going to kick me out of where we were living for doing that and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, my parents, you know, I was at my lowest then, and I actually prayed, like, instead of just, oh, God, can you, get me this thing I want or whatever, you know, there were some genuine moments where I was really like, you know, God, if you're there, you know, please do this and whatever and help me and whatever. But it was always the preface with, if you're there and whatever, and I know I haven't been talking to you for like 3 years, and, you know, that kind of preface, which,
right,
you know, I think at this point God would have been like, yeah, just come on. But for me, I'm like, I'm sorry, I've been gone so long. Because I was like a kid listening to MP3 player worship music and actually singing it and meaning it. And then I'm not 17 and I don't care at all.
Yep.
And so, I'm rambling, but basically I got to the point where I realized that I wasn't going to make it on my own moral philosophy at all. You know, as a teenager, you're like, oh, you're discovering all the ideas and your neural pathways are being built.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Still me today.
So I realized, if I'm constantly hurting people, and not only have I just kind of ruined my life here, but I've ruined this girl's life, who I really like, by, you know, getting her grounded for eternity and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I got to figure out what to do. And I kind of feel like God's the answer to that, based on what I've heard and what I've seen, and based on my parents and how they really believe in this. And the entire time I've known them, they haven't stopped. So I'm like, there's got to be something with this. And so a lot of people will be like, oh, you know, Jesus is a good moral teacher. Part of that was still in my head, when that's not even true. And I could go off about how that's not true, because Jesus said a lot of things that were not about moral philosophy, and he claimed to be God, so, or at least the Son of God. So
yeah,
there's a lot of things that don't just equate him as just a moral teacher. So, but anyway, I was like, I need to find out what to do. And so I started praying, actually praying, and I started talking with some of the older guys here that I'm like, hey, I messed up and I want to not be like this anymore. And they were actually impressed that I wanted to do that. And so I thought that was nice. And not say, hey, get out of my face, you weirdo. Cause, and in a way, that helped me realize God's nature a little bit, in the, you know, not turning me away when actually asking. Because there have probably been times I've been like, hey, I kind of want to learn about this stuff, and not actually cared.
Yeah.
But actually cared. And when it mattered, people were like, okay, here we are.
Yeah.
You know, despite you being the way you've been.
Besides you know, a total failure.
Yeah. So that was it. And I was like, I want to be a better person, not just to maybe get this girl to still like me, but because I know I can't. You know, because a lot of people would say, oh, he probably just did that to impress her parents and, you know, get in and get on the good side or whatever. When the truth is, I didn't make that first step that made them like me, I think. It was, they forgave me. And that was a lot of proof to me that God was real. Because where else would that have come from?
Right.
That does not come from a normal human person. Like, oh, you did this and you betrayed our trust after and lied to our face for a very long time. You know?
Yeah.
I forgive you.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. I was like, that had to be something. And so I was like, I want to do this. If it means being anything like these people who have graciously forgiven me and, you know, been way better to me than I've ever been to them,
right,
then I want to do it. And so that's what brought me to God, I think. I think I brought to God, it's like, I think my parents were a part of that a lot, but in the end, it was definitely that event that made me realize, oh, I am a bag of trash. And I would like to not be like this anymore, you know?
Yep.
And it, I mean, it's obviously not as simple as, I'm just going to do all this list of things and then everyone will like me again. It's like, that's what I had been doing.
Right.
You know, I knew there was a life somewhere that no matter what I did eventually, no matter what I did, I was trying for the real thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yours is definitely more flattering of a story than mine. That's for sure.
I don't know. So, Gabe, what made you take the leap and commit to a life? Is that basically, by what I think we meant when we wrote this question, what made you take the leap and commit to a life of following him was, I guess, what made you decide you wanted
finalize
to get baptized.
The decision to get baptized. Well, yeah. That was the big pinnacle point for me. Like, I guess some people don't really believe in baptism. I don't understand. But baptism for me was a sign of, it was a covenant between me and God. So what made me is I had always kind of, like, my parents had always followed God and I watched them my whole life. And I was like, man, our family has gone through a lot of crazy stuff. We've moved all over the country. But God has always provided. And I watched my parents trust in him every single time, even though just things looked terrible. And then he would bless us, and then he would take away and then he'd give, and then he'd take away.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched them trust him through all that and struggle with all that. And I watched their marriage struggle, and then I watched their marriage get better. And I was like, you look at other, I remember looking at other families and other kids, like you were saying, you notice things as mm-hmm. even as a young kid, you see differences. And I was like, we have something that some of these other families don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to keep that.
Right.
You know? And then, my dad, I remember him asking me when I was younger, he's like, why do you want to follow God? And I said, well, I watched you guys and it's hard, but it's always good.
Yeah.
You know, it's, God always came through for us mm-hmm. every single time, always came through, mm-hmm. you know, even when it seemed like he didn't or he wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, they set a really good example for me. So I really probably owe a lot of that to my parents.
Mm.
They continue to set a good example.
I think me too with my parents.
So,
yeah.
But anyways, what made me take the leap is I think I was, what was I, 16? There was no way I was 16. Yeah. So I was 17. And they were like, hey, a couple people are getting baptized. And then I remember thinking, you know what? I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, now's the time. No one asked me, hey, do you want to do this? I don't think mm-hmm. they were. I heard someone mention there's baptism classes going on because some people were going to get baptized. And I was mm-hmm. like, I think I'm ready. I'm 17 years old. I haven't hit that rebellious streak that usually I was waiting for. I was like, I want to hit that if that's going to happen, because I've seen it happen to a bunch of other people. I'm like, maybe it'll happen to me too. So let's like ride this one out, see if it happens. And it never did. So I was like, you know what? I think this is really what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 17. So my parents had given me a lot more freedom in my life. And I was still like, I think this is what I want.
Yeah.
This seems like the best route mm-hmm. from what I've seen people in my life go through, the people who don't follow God and the people that do, and the people that I've seen in my life that do follow God, those people are the people I want to be around.
Right.
You know? And those are the people that I find life around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really like that. It wasn't like this great, like anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just more or less me thinking. I'm like, this seems very logical and this seems like what I want to do.
Yeah.
I see no other route that looks as good as this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe that's the wrong way to look at it. I don't know. I feel like I look at it a little bit differently now, but
yeah. Well, I think I do too, because part of me wants to look back on what I thought and be like, oh, you did this for kind of selfish reasons, didn't you? And
right.
I'm like, did I? Oh, no. And I don't know that I did. I think some of the stuff you're saying was definitely where I was at, where I saw the example of all the people around me and I'm like, these people have God.
Yeah.
And if anything, I'm safer here talking to them all the time than anywhere. And I want to show them that I want to make this commitment with them mm-hmm. and be a part of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I wasn't just getting baptized to this church. I was getting baptized to the church
right.
everywhere. But I mean, for me, it was partly that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I honestly think the leap, what made me commit was partly the thing I was saying before, is where I don't think I would have been able to make any system of my own morally that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized that Jesus's way was a way that worked.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone I knew who followed him were what I would have called good people.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like that.
Yep.
And so in a way I felt like I was checking myself into a rehab and forcing myself to be there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I felt like baptism was doing. I mean, I was already like, okay, I want to do this,
mm-hmm.
but in a way I was like, hey guys, I need you guys.
Yeah.
Because I need something else.
Yeah. More than myself. Yeah.
And when I look at that now, I'm like, oh, I was just worried about me, la-di-da. I don't know how much of that is true or how much of that is my brain just trying to demoralize myself for, you know, whatever decisions I make. But I think that was partly the decision, was realizing that I needed something new.
Mm-hmm.
Not just something new. I needed this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could recognize that it worked by example.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people get I don't know, worn down, like, oh, is the life I'm living in Christ actually showing anything good? Mm-hmm. And it does. Yeah. I can say as a testimony to that. The people around me who lived Christ's life on purpose and took every hour and said, you know, I'm choosing him, not me. They made a difference to me. Mm-hmm. And it made me believe more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's probably it. Especially the class thing where Paul was like, hey, I want you guys to know what this is before you just jump in.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, if you're going to tell me, and I know, and I know, and I still agree, I'm doing it. So, Gavin, why do you still follow God today?
Number one, I made a commitment. Mm-hmm. That's, like, a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, commitments are a big deal. But number two is I really don't see any other way. Mm. I haven't found anything else that's better. Mm-hmm. This is the only thing that really kind of makes sense. And even then, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I know people are like, wait, God doesn't make sense. And I'm like, he absolutely doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it should be. Because mm-hmm. He's God and I'm not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really much, pretty much it for me is I'm just like, God, I'll run into these situations in my life. And I'm like, yep, this is why I need mm-hmm. God. This is exactly why I need God.
Right.
And this is why I committed to following him, because I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. You know, you get in those situations where you just realize what a mess of a human being you are, and you're just, right. you're trying to be good, and you're just not.
Me all this week. You know?
So really, it's just me continually realizing, I guess, what a failure I am. Mm-hmm. That sounds really like downer, but mm-hmm. there's just no other options I've seen in the world that are close to making any sort of sense, as much as God does. And even then, he doesn't make very much sense.
Right.
So that's it.
I'd say for me, it would be that he is the father in the prodigal son story. Mm-hmm. That no matter how many times I am unrighteous, I'm not worthy to come home. Mm-hmm. There's no reason I should come home. I should go far away and hang my head low and do anything else. But he still opens his arms up.
Yeah.
And says, let's have a feast. You're home.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm saying that lightly, like, but it's true. I'm so happy that's how God is. And he's proven it to me over and over again. And I don't know. I just can't disassociate myself from that.
Right.
I owe it. Mm-hmm. I owe it in my soul to do something for that mm-hmm. and dedicate myself every day, mm-hmm. you know, even if it hurts, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of sounds like, oh, you're forcing yourself. It's like, no, dude, out of the amount of gratefulness I have to have been given everything. And then when I, you know, look at all the pretty things and decide, oh, these are more important right now. And then I'm like, wait, those weren't important. And come back, God's still like, yeah, it's okay. Just get up. Let's go. You know? And I mean, there's definitely time where I need a harsher rebuke than that. And right. I'm glad I get it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But because he's that father.
Have there been any major events that made you consider stop following him?
I don't know that there's been something yet. I'd say I've said, hey, God, what the heck, before. And I don't think I've completely lost, you know, my ability to follow him. Since I basically said no major event, even though there have been a few that come to mind, they're just sensitive topics. So but then again, I don't feel like they brought me nearly close enough to say that I considered stopping. Mm-hmm. I would say it was definitely a struggle.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough. What about you?
It's more or less me having doubts, I think. Mm. Me having doubts about God.
That he's there?
That he's there. that he would, that he was there, because I was like, I'm not getting anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sending it out, I'm listening to the radio, I'm not getting anything on these airwaves. Mm-hmm. I'm praying, and I wasn't getting anything, you know? And I'm like, are you actually there? Is anyone out there? You know?
Anybody out there?
I don't know, it sounds sounds like such heresy sometimes to say that. But yeah, it was like, I've had multiple times, and even recently, I was like, I was thinking about God, and I was like, I'm committed to you, God, but then all of a sudden these doubts start to creep in. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people talk about this. Maybe it's just me. Quite possibly it's just me.
No, I'm a weird person. Just you.
But these doubts start to creep in. It's like, is God real? Is this just all just fake? Mm. Is it, what's going on?
The way I deal with that, and I'm not saying this is a good way to deal with that, mm-hmm. is part of my brain comes back to, and I don't know, I haven't read The Last Battle in a long time, but there's that part in The Last Battle where the guy was like following that other idol or whatever for like the whole book.
Is this Narnia? What are you talking
about? Yeah, Narnia.
Okay, it's been a long time.
I'm sorry, I just said The Last Battle. As if everybody knows what I'm talking about. C.S. Lewis. No, in Narnia, The Last Battle, there's this guy at the end. I haven't read it in a long time, so pardon me if I butcher this. And he was serving this idol god or whatever. And then as soon as Aslan showed up, he was like, oh, I've been wrong this whole time.
Yeah.
And Aslan forgave him.
Yeah.
It was like, everything you've done for that idol, you've done for me because you've turned away. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Which I think that's what happened. And so that's in my brain. And so I've got those concepts. And then I think about how much better of a person I've become just overall, like to a normal standard for what everybody knows is right and wrong.
Yeah.
I've done so much different and not changed myself. God changed me.
Right.
But I mean, if theoretically God wasn't real in this situation.
Right.
And I find that out at the end.
Yeah.
I would probably still be happy with my life.
Right.
And that's what I come back to. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, for me, it was recently, actually. I had this thing where all of a sudden these doubts started creeping in, right? And I was on the way home from Nashville. And all of a sudden, I was just like, I don't know if you ever had this before. Maybe this is just me being weird, which is entirely a possibility.
I have a lot of weird things happen to me.
Like, all of a sudden, I get like this. I don't know if you've seen that scene from like Doctor Strange. And I'm sorry, guys, bear with me for a second. Doctor Strange, where he gets thrown out of like his astro body, and she's like, welcome. This is now your other body, whatever. I felt like that, you know? Mm. And you're just suddenly like, who is me? Yeah. You know? I'm like, who am I? How am I conscious?
Was it just disassociation?
Well, just like, how am I conscious?
Or was it like actual astral projection?
Well, I couldn't like, not astral projection.
You didn't have an out-of-body experience where you could see yourself?
I was just like, wait a minute, how am I me? How am I conscious?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have you ever had that where you're just suddenly like, what? How am
and
I
then
conscious?
It's like, oh, I'm driving the car right now.
Yeah, it's like, I gotta stay here. I am very real. You know, you gotta kind of talk yourself into it. But I'm like, there's no way we just came here. There's no way we just evolved. Mm-hmm. There's no way Earth just happened. Everything, there is too much coincidence, you know? And then I have to think back, and it kind of comes down to like Andrew Peterson's thing, and I feel like I'm kind of paraphrasing my dad here, but... Yeah, he has this song called I've Seen Too Much. Mm. You know. And I'm just like, I have seen too much.
Yeah.
This is God. This is who I'm following. I have seen him. Mm-hmm. I have to remind myself of that, you know?
Right.
So I've had doubts like that, but then I've been like, you know what? I literally look around at nature sometimes and I'm like, Gavin, it's a slap in the face.
Yeah.
This is not just perchance. This is not just you know. That's really been it. And then, okay, I think I may have a while back, I've been like, you know what? What if I just like went and did whatever I want? What if?
Yeah.
You know, I've had those thoughts. And then I'm like, you know what? No. I've seen the payoff from other people's lives when they just went and did whatever they wanted. And I don't want to pay that price.
Yeah.
You know? So anyways, that's pretty much it, been it for me. Nothing really like drastic where I was like, why God? Not like Job and like the pile of ashes, you know, and all of your friends telling you stuff, you know, nothing like that.
Yeah. I just reread the book of Job and book of Esther. They're good.
Book of Job is intense, man.
Yeah. Anyways, has it been worth it, Gaben?
It has.
I think so, too.
Yeah, what do you think? Has it been worth it?
Has it been worth it, Eli? Yes.
So far?
Yes. Yeah, I would.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
10 out of 10 would recommend. I don't know what would have happened to me. I dread even thinking about it. I don't think about it on purpose because of who I'm afraid I would have become.
Right.
You know? And I think back when I was, you know, a kid, I thought to myself, and I really thought this to myself. This is a short rabbit trail. I promise this is short. I really thought to myself, I killed the good Eli. I'm like, he's gone. I don't care. You say something to me, I'm going to blow you up. I don't care. I don't care what you think. There's nothing you can say that can make me care. And
he's such a rebellious little child.
No, for real. Like, I had this vision of myself in the future of who I was going to be down that path and who I was going to be down the other path.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, I was like, I don't want to be that anymore. I don't want to be that guy who doesn't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was before I had all these events.
Right.
I was like, I don't want to really be like that. That's just rude and horrible. Horrible man. Right. Horrible man.
Horrible.
So I didn't want to be that. And I ended up looking exactly like my real imagination projected to myself.
Hmm. What's that?
Prophecy, man. So yes, it's been worth it. I'm not evil Eli anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm going to be. All right, so let's continue.
Yes.
After 3 years of a committed life to Jesus,
what's
the biggest charismatic you'd say you've learned about God?
Charismatic. Sheesh, this voiceover dude doesn't know how to speak.
Goodness. He's fired. Get him out of here. There's the door.
Show him away. After 3 years of a committed life.
What's the biggest charismatic?
Characteristic.
Charismatic.
You okay? Charismatic.
It's late, man.
What's the biggest characteristic you'd say you've learned about him? I think mine is kind of common, so I kind of am slow to say it because I feel so cliche in saying it. But I think the biggest thing I've learned is how unpredictable he is.
Hmm.
And how when you try to stick him in a box, he just doesn't fit in the box every single time. You know, and I know we as humans will try to continue to stick him in a box. You know, that's kind of like we try to classify. We name everything, you know. Mm-hmm. We classify everything. We call cooked bread toast. We don't call it cooked bread. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We just do that.
No, what's funny about bread, though, is bread is cooked from wheat. And then we cook it again to make toast.
We call it toast, yeah. It's pretty crazy.
And then if you like it burnt, you cook it again.
Yep. And you get charcoal. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I think that's the biggest thing I've learned while following him. I've been like, oh, this is how God is. And then it's like, mm-hmm. oh, no, that's not how God is.
Yeah.
He's something totally different. And he's always blowing your minds. Like, you read it in the Bible and he blows my mind. I was recently reading Genesis. And it was just like he tells Sarai's slave or servant girl, she leaves after getting pregnant from Abraham or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's crying in the wilderness, and the angel tells her to go back, mm-hmm. even though Sarai was abusive to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. Go back into an abusive relationship, which mm-hmm. I'm not saying you guys should do here on the podcast, but mm-hmm. just like that particular scenario, he's telling her to go back.
Yeah, many times like, what? He's instantly rescued people.
Yeah. And then he also tells Abraham, hey, I'm going to do your bloodline and all mm-hmm. that. And then Abraham doesn't even live to see it all.
Yep.
You know, he makes these promises, then fulfills them years later.
Right.
And then just he does unpredictable things. You know, people are talking to him. He's drawn in the sand, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Right.
He's just unpredictable. And I think that's what's cool about following him.
That's what's engaging about it, I think.
It's like you can never fully figure this thing out.
Right.
You can never fully figure God out.
Mm-hmm. I think we're not capable.
Well, yeah.
We're not physically capable and mentally capable of understanding who God is. So in a way, we made ourselves a weird question. What's the biggest characteristic?
Yeah.
I said it right that time.
Yep, bam.
I don't know. I mean, how do you describe characteristics of God?
I think it's like characteristic. What's the biggest thing? What's like the biggest trend maybe you've seen?
Oh, well, then I'm trying to figure God out. Kind of. I mean,
I think there are general things.
I think
though.
It's kind of what you're saying, though. I mean, you are right. We try to name and categorize everything. I literally just watched a video before coming down here where this guy was like, okay, how do we classify what's a mountain? Mm-hmm. And how is this part of the mountain not the same mountain?
Yeah.
Why is it a separate peak?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but you can't categorize nature like that because nature is God's.
Yeah.
And he doesn't live in a box.
Yep.
And it's like, I can say that about God. Mm-hmm. He is so inconsistent, it's consistent.
Right.
You know?
Consistently inconsistent.
But he is also a loving father and a righteous judge.
Yeah.
All of at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's the Alpha and Omega, whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger, I used to look into these science articles because I look into science articles, it's science stuff. I want to know. And they were talking about this microscopic piece of metal that proved there were multiverses. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. I'm not sure exactly how exactly it proves, but it says it was in two places at once. Mm-hmm. Because it was so molecularly tiny. It was able to cross between the physical and be in two places at once.
Weird.
Which is a really strange concept.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised nobody else has talked about this in the world, but I remember reading it when I was like 13. And I was like, wait, what?
I mean, that's quantum. I remember reading stuff. I was like, ah.
And so I'm like, God is all places at once.
Yeah.
And sees everything.
Yeah.
And made everything. And he's undefinable.
Yeah.
Yet he's all these things.
Chris Tomlin music comes in the background.
Indescribable. Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I will say this, and I'm sure I've said this before, but one time I was praying. I was really praying. And I was saying, Lord, 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 Lord. And God was like, I'm your father. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I was like, I clearly heard it because I'm like, why else would I have just randomly heard that in the middle of my asking about things? And but I heard it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, like this like deep booming voice like it is in
Eli
like it is in Old Testament stories where it's like lightning and thunder, but it was like it was a calm, like, call me father.
Yeah,
I'm your father, you know. And I was like, okay. You know.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what he wanted me to know about him.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He's a good, good father.
Stop it with the songs.
All Chris Tomlin's too, man. Anyways, I'm going to move on to the next question here. What do you know?
It is Chris Tomlin.
For sure. I think we already answered this, but what do you know for
what
sure?
What do you know for sure?
Yeah.
Oh.
In life.
I know from what I've seen and from what God has said, knowing he's real, I know he's real. So from what God has said, I know that he created us to live in fellowship with him, that we messed it up big time, and there was no way back until Jesus came. And then that transcends time and space. And as long as we come to him and repent of that, repent of our sins and all of the things that happened before, and we can live eternally in that fellowship with him again. Mm-hmm. That's what I know.
Yeah, I think For me, I'd say, I know I'm not a good person. I know I'm capable to potentially do good things, but I know I'm just not good. And I know that there's, I can't do it by myself. I know I can't do it by myself.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know I need something, and I'm pretty sure it's God. And that he seems like the only way, the only thing that solves everything.
Right.
And yeah, I know that, this life is unpredictable. Because so far I'm 20 years old and I don't know what the heck's going on.
Oh, you're 20 now.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It's weird, man. I'm getting old.
I'm going to be 22.
I feel like an old man. You're an old man.
I know.
And that sounds really dumb. Oh, you don't know God's real for sure, like you said that. And
I mean,
I'm pretty sure. Maybe that's terrible.
I would say
that.
I'm like 96.7%.
Right.
I'm not saying that that little bit is like... But I think for me, that little bit comes from the little bit of doubt, unsurety that will probably grow and shrink.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
Comes from, you know, our definition of seeing, hearing, feeling, whatever, you know. But I know these things I can't rely on because my heart is deceitful.
Right. Yep.
I know that I don't understand the transcendence of time and space that God claims he has.
Right.
And I don't think I can. So the fact that I don't, I can't, means that there will always be this a little bit in me that comes from every voice around me that says, maybe this isn't real.
Yeah.
And I have to live with the 96.7.
Yeah.
You know,
I think for me, it's like that one dude. It's like, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief.
Right.
It's like this. Yeah. But. Yeah, I do, but I need you to help me here.
And I think it's important, like, kind of what you're talking about is like, oh, maybe it's bad that, you know, I whatever have doubt. It's okay. Yeah. We literally all do.
Yeah.
At some point or another. And I might not right now. I had a very good day. I talked to God today.
Right.
Through this week, I might have said something else. I might have been like, I'm just not feeling it at all. Yeah. Guess I'll have faith today, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I think this is a small thing, but this is kind of like what Mike Donaghy's been talking about recently a lot. And he wrote a song about being all together and how the church should look like, hey, we're all recovering from the fact that this world is all around us and it's really damaged us. And we don't know the right way up. So we got to help each other and be honest about it. And if we shame people for being honest, then, you know, we're not doing unto others as we would like to be done to us.
Yeah.
You know?
And are we the church at that point?
Right. And so if I sit here and say, Gavin, how dare you have a moment in your life where you wonder to yourself if nothing is even real, if you're doing all this for nothing.
Yeah.
How dare you? Yes, that is not okay of me.
Yeah.
Because if somebody
it's not
said
okay
that,
of you, Eli.
If somebody, I mean, I don't think
I'm
did
kidding.
That.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I know for sure that I've seen Christ in people. And that gives me something to look for.
Yeah.
In myself. And I think people have told me they've seen Christ in me. I'm like, good.
Yes.
I sure hope so. Right. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only thing that kind of gives me like maybe there's hope for me after all is because I think it was, who was it? Was it Peter or one of those apostles that was like, and if this is all for naught, then we're the most pity. We should be the most pitied humans on earth. You know? Because then we were just, we're giving up our life.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if he had a little bit of doubt in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what gives me a little bit of faith that maybe it's slightly normal to always have a small, very small creeping doubt. But like you said, that you have those days and you have those other days that you're like, this is it. This is real.
I think that's where, you know, Satan and sin comes in. It's that little bit percent where it's going to be around us until we're out of here.
Yeah.
And we just have to accept that it'll be there for now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's what I think.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, I've committed to this. And it probably sounds really weird. I'm pretty sure people are going to listen to this podcast and be like, why is this dude following God again?
Who is this guy?
What the heck? He sounds like a pretty unsure dude.
Well, if somebody asks, then I would just go, you know, I saw it a lot. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think that's what it is.
You saw a light and you're going after it.
Yeah.
And everything has made sense.
Yeah, I think there's this song by, oh man, what is his name? Cody Fry. And it's...
Is it the underground one?
No, it's not the underground. It's the flying one.
I don't know that one.
I'll see if I can find it here. But essentially the lyrics go, he said he jumped. And he's like, you told me I could fly, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not flying or whatever. And the rocks are getting closer. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I guess this was all for naught. Mm. And then suddenly he's floating. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you've got me in your hands, you know. Mm-hmm. And he had that moment of doubt, you know, where he's like, okay, I guess I just messed up and there's my death. Here it comes.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that sometimes. And it's like, I committed to this. I'm jumping. Mm-hmm.
I remember listening to this thing where it was talking about being a doer Christian, whatever. And that's kind of what I've been all my life. It's like, oh, I got to do. And then, you know, then God will be happy with me, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm earning my way and whatever. And I don't consciously think that, like, oh, I'm doing, and then I'm earning my way to God and God will be happy with me and blah, blah, blah. But it's when I realize doing nothing that God still loves me and still paid the price for me. And I'm more righteous than I've ever been because that payment's been done.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not always at zero.
Yeah.
You know, my debt's been paid and then some.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like one more step and one wrong step and I'm out.
Yeah.
You know. I think, I don't remember where I was going with that, except, you know, that's kind of where I've been about stuff recently.
Yeah.
Is realizing that no matter what I do, not no matter what I do, I'm not going to deny the Lord or something.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I don't think I will. But I mean...
As long as you're turning back towards him.
Right, I'm saying it's paid more.
Yeah.
And I'm here.
Yep. Well, that's the end of our questions.
That's all of them.
Yeah, that's all of them.
We talked more about other stuff.
Yep. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, you guys heard part of our stories. That's pretty much it.
Takes 50 episodes for us to say, hey, we're people, we were born places, and this is what we do.
I feel like my story is pretty static, whereas Eli's is like, and I was the prodigal son. And Gabe is just like, guess I'll follow God.
My parents are doing it. Might as well.
Seems like a good idea.
Sure, dude.
Radical. Let's do this.
We're going surfing? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hang loose, man.
We're all letting the shark nibble on us? Sounds good, man.
Totally down for this joyride. Dude. Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know. I'm following God. That's what I do know. I committed to a life to him. Mm-hmm. So far, is it tough every day to choose him? Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Do I do it every day? No, I don't. And that's why there's every day. You start a new day every morning. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say, here's an excuse for Gavin. That's to say, I have another chance to give it everything I got.
I mean, we're supposed to not count. So, we're supposed to not count tomorrow as a given.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, Stephen Curtis Chapman has this song. And I'm being serious.
Oh, we just quote songs.
It's called funny. Next 5 Minutes.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, whatever happened. Next 5 minutes, I'm living like it's the last 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
And I just want to live like that every time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And there's another song. I don't remember exactly what it's called. Oh, The Change. It's about, it starts off like, oh, I have all these, I have this fish Jesus sticker on my car. I've got the t-shirts and,
heck
the,
yeah.
and the bracelet and whatever. He's like, but what about what's in me?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I want to live next 5 minutes. Like it's the last 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I just think I might only have 5 minutes.
That's true. Well, Eli's over here spitting truth bombs. So, I'm like, hey, we have all those tomorrow.
I got tomorrow. No.
It's not, I don't, that sounds bad when I'm putting it that way, but it's in a way of, yeah, I'm trying to every day.
Right.
Is, yeah. And every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's crazy to me is I'm like, man, I messed up today. Mm-hmm. And God's like, I'm like, and? Wait, what?
And?
Yeah. My mom, I used to get really big into like guilt, like, cause that's kind of where my whole journey started was kind of guilt, which is good up to a point.
It was the good guilt.
You know? And then it starts to, if you just feel guilty all the time, you don't do anything, you mm-hmm. know? And then you're not, then you're just useless. You're just like, it's not good for you. It's not good for people around you, you know? Right. So realizing that you are forgiven mm-hmm. and moving on and moving forward like you are forgiven and you're mm-hmm. a child of God just empowers you.
Right.
I feel like that's what I'm trying to say, essentially.
10th Avenue North has a song about that.
Snap.
Called No Shame.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So we're both getting pretty tired, so we're going to head out.
Call it a night.
But thank you guys for stopping by. We hope this episode was even a passable listen,
as far as being interesting and whatnot.
Yeah, so that's sort of a interview with each other.
Yeah, about episode 50, finally. It's about time.
Wow. Can't believe it.
Yep.
You can find us on Instagram if you want to keep up with us when we're posting. We're on YouTube as well. Just hit the like if you liked it. If not, then hit the dislike button twice. That's what I heard people are saying in the industry.
It tells YouTube that you really, really hate us.
Yes. So. Definitely what it does. Anyway.
That'll be it for this one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And if you have ideas for topics or really want to tell us anything you have on your mind, your problems, your hatred,
honestly,
your love.
Honestly, if you have questions about God and stuff that you might think we know, even if we don't know, we will probably want to find the answers as well.
Yeah.
So send those, I suppose. And thanks again.
You can email them or you can DM us. And if you want to know the email, that is linked in the show notes below. So.
StayChristian@gmail.com.
Oh, snap. Cool. Catch you guys in the next one, you guys.
Yeah. Stay real.
Stay Christian. Bye.